I went to Stockton, California, and met with some businessmen and shocked them. It isn't just the black dropout rate that bothers me. It is everybody's dropout rate. In the three high schools in Stockton, California, the dropout rate is between 49.3 and 65.2%. Now, how can any community survive on dropouts? What is wrong? Let's make a smile for change. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to ask you a simple question.
I hope so.
How would you set your opinions on this issue compare or contrast to the
majority?
How would my views contrast with the president? Well, not much. No more ever chairman appointed by a president. I did say to the president that you might have read about some time ago that he had what I call a colored meeting at the White House. And the meeting was to call together all the black political appointees and say what good he had done for blacks in America. And I said, Mr. President, I'm not coming. I'm not coming because if you call all the white folks there, you'd be called a bigot. Now, if you want to call all of your appointees together and say what I have done for America, I'll come. But I'm not coming to any all-black meeting. I oppose the president on Bob Jones. I oppose the president on voting rights initially and said you got to decide between the intent test and the effects test. And that was the big discussion. I'm a loose cannon in some cases. All commissioners are loose cannons. We are not the president doesn't tell us what to do, and nor do the four congressional appointees, the Congress tell them what to do. And we can say what we want to do, and say what we want to say, and I think we do that very well, and we'll continue to do that. But see, what makes people irritated with me is my politics and my pigment. I'm not supposed to be a Republican and be black. That's what got everybody pissed off. Okay? And that's what I am. I am a black who happens to be a Republican, or in the reverse, I'm a Republican who happens to be black. Okay? And I like that. And I'm not saying any of you can't be what you want to be. Okay? I don't belong to anything black and Republican. I'm a Republican.
Just recognize that pigment was a factor, but then you wouldn't go to this meeting because it was based on pigmentation.
Why not?
You're saying it's that it's a colorblind society on the one hand, and then you're saying that people are offended by me because I'm black.
Now what I said to
you,
sir.
Therefore, color matters.
What I said
that's
to
what
you,
you're
sir.
Saying.
No. What I said to you, that it doesn't matter to me. What I said to you was that I wouldn't go to a meeting to call everybody together. What I'm saying to you. Other folks got a problem with my pigment, and I don't have a problem with it.
The whole society has a problem.
Right. That's because you're racist.
I got no problem with my pigment and my politics.
No.
Other people do.
This is a people.
Just a minute, ma'am. You
got wolves and foxes.
Yeah, okay.
Democrats are the Republicans. Democrats are Republicans.
Yeah.
Republicans are the
wolves
and the Democrats are the
Republicans. All right, thank you.
Therefore, we have no problem with the fact that you're Republican. But the problem is the fact that you're denying that racism does not exist in this society.
I never said that in my life. I never said that.
My question is, why are you saying that it doesn't?
I never said it.
But your politics imply that it doesn't.
It didn't imply that at all. I said, I believe there's racism in this country. Our laws can't tolerate it. It's just like air pollution. You can't get a remedy until the air bothers you.
Let's talk about law.
Man's in the back. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Sir.
I'm sorry. They don't get mad at me. I'm trying to do the best I can.
Sir.
Never will be. Say what?
I'm a college professor and a Republican.
Good.
And being a Republican.
Good.
I have read your article, sir. Interesting that 20 or 30 years ago you believed in a colorblind society. Now, I would like to ask a historical question. Many of the people today that were alive 20 and 30 years ago and thinking believed that then. How do you account for the fact that you didn't change your mind, but most of the leftists did, and they now believe in racial quotas? How do you explain that change in the mentality of individual people?
I guess we all put down our money because if I happen to believe that this is a good country, I happen to believe you can be, go as far as your creativity and imagination will take you. My experiences interracially, in great respect, let me know that everybody that's white is not me. I think I have been able to keep those underpinnings. I think that's the only way we can really go in this country. We can't keep dividing it up. There's no dividing. There's nothing to divide. And I hold on to my views. And strangely enough, a lot of people who had the same views I had 20 years ago, they changed in this whole role reversal I talked about. Yes, ma'am?
I keep getting the feeling you might have still been sitting in the back of the bus and you've been waiting for you to help. So.
In this country? You say in this country?
Yes. I'd like to hear something about the struggle to dismantle our own heavy apartheid in this country.
I don't have any questions. I really don't.
That was a struggle, sir.
Okay.
A few years ago. You remember black folks used to get mentioned and go down the alleys to the top of the theater and sit in the back of the bus and mm-hmm. go in restaurants and hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a struggle to change all of that.
My response to you is that in terms of that struggle, that was a bitter struggle. I referred to it in my speech about those who marched and died and pushed and pulled. And that was a struggle, and I thought we had all won that with the passage of the Act in 64. There's no question in my mind other things had to happen. I think that we're not as bad off in 64, in 85 as we were in 64. That's a demonstrable struggle. But I think you got to put that behind you and try to walk on. I think our laws can't tolerate it. And I am opposed to discrimination against anybody at any time for any reason. And I think if you're discriminated against and you get the remedy, you need to be put back in the place you would be in absent that discrimination. If that's an employment, that means back pay, punitive damages, and seniority. I believe that as an individual. I believe very clearly in the Stotts versus Memphis firefighters decision that quoted extensively from the legislative history of the 64 Civil Rights Act. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to get back to women.
Yes.
I was interested or actually stunned by what you had to say about comparable worth. And the question that I have is just, if patronizing whites can't solve blacks' discrimination problems, how can patronizing males successfully address women's discrimination problems?
Okay. I think that, good question. I really believe that Title VII and Equal Pay Act handle women's discrimination. Okay? I think it's very clear that it's illegal to discriminate against women in jobs because of sex. For you to get back up. Equal Pay Act is an act on the books that came up before the 1964 Civil Rights Act. That's all I can really say. I support our report in that.
Is
it being enacted? Sure it is. Because that's why it's being enacted. Because you got lawsuits and people can bring no suits. That's what the law is there for. It would not prevent. Oh, no way. No way. You can bring a lawsuit on a comparable worth, but no court in this country has accepted as legal theory. The last case I know of now is on appeal in the Ninth Circuit, and that's the Washington State versus AFSCME case. But judges have not found that to be an acceptable legal theory. You want a law question?
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, but I'll try.
I'm a lawyer. I was going to ask you if you were a lawyer. You keep using the word discrimination. I can think of at least 5 different meanings of that term.
Sure you can.
And I'm wondering, in light of that, I'd like you to define what you mean by discrimination, and in light of that, I'd like to ask you why, when you talk about Title VII, you don't talk about a case called Griggs v. Duke Power, and you don't talk about the 1972 amendment to Title VII, which came after that case, which said we can use quotas as a remedy if we find discrimination. And by discrimination, they meant something very different.
What case was that? 1972 did that. That said quotas was a remedy. What case in 1972 made quotas constitutional? Griggs v. Duke Power.
Remedies came later. I'm sorry.
All right. Now, let me be fair with you. Congress has not touched the constitutionality of quotas. The closest thing we've ever come to quotas is in Fully Love, and that was the size all the money was spent.
What about Weber?
Weber was a voluntary agreement entered into between the parties, and Congress says, if you want to have a little, the court says, if you want to have a little voluntary arrangement, that's fine with us, but it ain't constitutional. Discrimination means denying people opportunities based upon those immutable. All I'm saying to you, ma'am, is that quotas are, I said not Weber, but quotas are not constitutional. It never said it was, it said if you want to do that for a private purpose, that's fine. And that's a very... Oh, well, okay.
And Griggs defined discrimination differently than you defined it.
All I'm saying, yes, is what I define.
Okay. Do you agree with the Department of Justice's position on the Title VII, on Title VII right now?
I don't, on Title VII in terms of what? What's the position now? See, you think I'm 5 miles away from the country. I've been down the corner already, but what's the position of the department right now?
Position right now.
You know what it is?
Yeah, there's this definition of discrimination is the same as yours. That is, it has to be individualized.
That's in the act. That's in the 1964 act.
But the court held in 1970 that the existence of a pattern in practice could be proof of discrimination.
Sir, the court held in Stotts v. Memphis Firefighters about individual remedies. Yes, sir.
A couple of months ago, the Philadelphia City Administration incinerated 11 members of the New Group. And that seems to me to be a clear violation of their civil rights.
You'd be a good lawyer for them.
A lot of people talk, well, I think the racist nature of that can be seen if we imagine that bombing was carried out by the Rizzo administration. I think there would have been riots in the streets.
No question about that.
Okay, but the nature of the act is the same, regardless of the fact that it happened to be a black mayor that carried it out, as it is a black civil rights commissioner who's carrying out Reagan's racist administration here. I didn't ask a question.
Maybe you will tonight, huh?
Most people don't know it, but the Philadelphia administration was consulting with the FBI, which of course is part of the Reagan administration, before they did that bombing. And so as far as I'm concerned, that administration is complicit in that act. And I would like to know, as part of that administration, do you support that bombing? And if you don't, why didn't you condemn it?
Now, I know I've been down to the corner once or twice. And you want me to answer that, huh? Sir, there is no answer to that scenario and the question.
Why not?
The way he raised it, I have no opinion.
Well, about constructive engagement.
How do you feel about the fact that there was a bombing and that these people were killed? How do you feel about that?
I feel bad about that.
How do you feel about that it was done? Would you have done it?
Wait, how do you feel about that?
That's not the answer.
I told you how I felt about it. I think it was a horrible situation on both sides of the fence. It was a bad scene. I have no comment at all in this public. Wait a minute, lady. I mean, you can't ask my question for me. You want to ask my question for me? All I'm saying to you, I'm not patronizing you, but don't ask this question for me. Ask me how I felt. I feel bad about it. That's all I can say.
Sir, we've had a question waiting over here for a long time.
I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
What you said was that what black kids needed to do now was to learn how to read, write, and reason. Well, I'm from the South Bronx, and South Bronx public schools don't teach you how to read, write, and reason. I was wondering what your commission was doing in order to ensure that blacks live in the ghetto to get the same kind of education that whites afford.
Now, you've expanded our powers. The question was that I said that blacks need to learn how to read, write, count, and reason. And she's from the South Bronx. They don't teach you that in the South Bronx. And what is the commission doing to ensure that kids in ghettos get good education? It's not our responsibility.
But that's a violation of civil rights.
You cannot, if you can bring a case as a civil rights violation, that goes to the Department of Justice. See, what people, what I see happening now is that you want to, you know, you can build on me about Ronald Reagan, but I know my role. That is not my role.
Doing an investigation.
if it came to a case where there was some information that came in kind of pattern practice of a denial of educational opportunity, we get into that. But we cannot prove, we just cannot go take on a study. Putting a study together takes some time, some field work, some voting by commissions about the certain kinds of studies. And I think that's where it is. It's unfortunate that many of you do not know what we do, and I feel sorry about that. I can only say to you, I just try to tell you already, lady, all we do is do studies and we investigate and we monitor the federal civil rights domain. We don't enforce anything. That's the other black guy named Clarence Thomas. He's the enforcer. He runs the EEOC. I don't run the EEOC. He's the cop. I'm the watchdog. Yes, ma'am. I think you're right. All I ever say is give somebody a chance, not a preference. Give people an opportunity and chance, but not a preference. I haven't missed a thing. I never said that. You can get it. Madam. Missed any of that. And what I'm saying to you very clearly is that you are not promised a result by any of these civil rights laws.
If some asking for a promise. What about all the people?
All I'm saying,
okay, we want things done for them. Half of black teenagers that are unemployed, what are they getting?
Top
what
sister.
Are they getting out of all this legislation?
All I can say to you, and I agree with you, what do they get out of it, and black leaders still keep asking for it? That is my very point. Why do you keep asking Congress to help, and Congress ain't giving us no help at all? But you keep asking.
It's better than
why not?
It is. It is.
Why not ask? What help can you give?
All I can say to you is that, okay? All I'm saying to you is that if we're not getting it, you got to reassess what you're not getting and how you get it. And I'm saying we're not getting it now, and I believe where I am with this whole thing. Let me stop now. If you want to pick me off one by one, some folks might want to go, as the dean said, and I'll be around a while. I'm ready to go. I'm not upset. Ray!